How many people have your Bibles today? If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head. Stand up underneath it and bear witness of God's Word. Amen. Look around. Isn't that awesome? That's going to be our authority today. You may be seated, please. There's two places that I wish you would turn to. We'll be at several places, but these two places will be sort of the beginning and sort of the end. The first place is in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus. You'll find the book of Titus after the book of 2 Timothy. And you'll find the book of 2 Timothy after the book of 1 Timothy. So the book of Titus chapter 2. When you find that, say, I have it. The next place that you need to find, and you can just mark it, will be the book of Psalms. Psalms 32. Psalms 32. So Titus and Psalms 32. Did I ask you yet if you're excited about being at church today?
Yes.
We answered that quick, just like it was an answer you knew you were supposed to say, right? Read this with me. Titus chapter 2. You've heard this passage of Scripture before, I'm sure. But I saw something in this passage of Scripture that we've never focused on. We always focus on the part of this that talks about the return of Jesus Christ when He comes to gather all those who've accepted Jesus as their Savior. But I want you to look at something neat in here. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for, say that with me.
Looking for.
One more time.
Looking for.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. Say that word with me. It starts with Z. Say it.
Zealous.
One more time.
Zealous.
Zealous of good works. Now, usually when we read this passage of Scripture and we read about looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, we think about looking for as if we're doing this. We're looking for. It's like a thing with our eyes. I'm looking for Him, Pastor. I walk out every day and I look up in the sky and see, and I'm looking for Him to come. But that's not at all what looking for means here. Looking for means how we live while we wait. How we live while we wait. Have you ever been looking forward to something? And you knew that something wasn't going to happen, but how were you living while you waited? If it was something that was good, you were anticipating, you were eagerly awaiting it, right? So I want you to understand that looking for in this context doesn't mean a visual way. It means how you live while you're waiting. Now, the Bible tells us that every one of us in here are separated from God by sin. God is righteous. We are unrighteous. Try to make it as simple as possible. But I'm a sinner. The Bible tells me, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I'm one of that all, right? It says, none are righteous, no, not one, and I'm one of that none. God's righteous, I'm not righteous, therefore I cannot get to God because of my sin. My sin is in between me and God, but God wanted me to come to Him, so God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one that ever lived on this earth as a man who was God and man, and He gave His life because that's the only way I could come into covenant with God was to accept the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's the only thing that covers my sin. So I have an opportunity in my life, and you have an opportunity in my life, in your life, when you hear the Word of God, to believe. The Bible says that God sent His Son into the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know that verse, right? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. So He gives us that opportunity to believe. When we believe in Jesus, the blood of Jesus covers our blood so that there's nothing between us and God. Now, it's not knowing that Jesus existed. It's not that it's a historical fact, because anybody could believe that Jesus existed. It's not believing there is a God, because the devil believes there's a God. It's believing in what He did, right? That's the difference. Not just knowing there's a God, but making it personal, right? When that happens, you become a Christian. The Bible tells us that you'll live a certain amount of days on this earth. We don't know how many days each one of us will live, but if you pass away while you live on this earth, it tells you that your spirit will go to heaven. Your body will be put in the ground. It tells you that if you don't pass away before Jesus comes back, one day Jesus is coming back. So when he comes back, we call that the rapture. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So that time we all will come back. That's the rapture. That's what we look for. Only those who are dead in Christ, that means you've accepted Christ, you've been a believer. Only those who are alive in Christ, that means you've accepted Christ, you've been a believer. It's not those that know about God, not those that have done good works, not those whose names are in a roll somewhere, but those who are believers. So, all those that are believers, we call them what? Starts with a C. Christians, right? So I'm going to address Christians today first. Those in here that have believed and you're confident and you know. I want to ask you some questions to see if you're looking for, to see how you're zeal is. Question one. Does the thought of coming to worship God today in this place excite you? You don't need to answer out loud. Just answer it to yourself. Does it excite you? Number two. Did you have an enthusiastic anticipation to come today and to sing praise to God and to hear his word preached? Was it something that you looked forward to? You were enthusiastic about it. You weren't made to come. You didn't come because it was duty. You were happy to do it, and you wanted to sing. Number three, do you look forward to the time that you get to talk to God today and every day? Do you look forward to your prayer time? Number four, are you looking forward to seeing what opportunity it is today that God's going to give you to serve him? What are we going to say is going on here that you can volunteer for? What is it that you see that comes into your life where somebody has a need? Are you looking forward to that, or do you just take it as it comes along? All these things that we talk about, well, it talks about an enthusiastic anticipation, something that you're really looking forward to, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Maybe you're looking for all those things I talked about, or let me ask you this. Do you find yourself today as someone who's going through the motions of living a Christian life? You know you love God, but you weren't really excited about coming and participating in worship today. You didn't really feel like singing. The song wasn't the one you liked. It was too slow. It was too fast. You wished it was something else. And there again, I moved my mouth, but I didn't really sing. I wasn't excited about it. We're going to sing. I'm singing because everybody else around me is, and I would look odd if I didn't. But it wasn't anything that you were excited about. You know you love God, but you weren't really excited about coming and participating in worship today. You didn't really feel like singing. You're going to listen to the preaching because you know that you should, but really you just hope it doesn't last too long. And as for all those different areas that you could serve in, well, there's other things that you'd really rather spend your time doing today, but you volunteer if you can work it in, and you do it, but you can't say you look forward to it. I'm saying ask yourself, do you look forward to it, or is it something that you just know you need to sign up for? You know, if you feel this way, then you need to know that something very important and something very dangerous has happened to you, Christian. It's happened to me before. As a matter of fact, I see it happening all the time. It's one of the worst diagnoses that you could have in your Christian life, and I don't think we talk about it enough. Here it is. What's happened is you've lost your zeal. You've lost your zeal. And maybe you haven't lost it. Maybe just some of these things, you're saying, hey, that's me. That's me. I don't want to really raise my hand, but I wasn't really looking forward to it. I didn't really want to sing. I prefer not to sing. I mean, it is to God, and I am singing How Great Is Thy Faithfulness, and I know he's been faithful, but I don't feel like praising him about it. And, you know, I'm coming today, but I'm not really, wasn't my choice to come, and I'm coming because I know I need to. And it all fits here. Maybe that's you and you haven't lost it yet, but you're in the process of losing your zeal. You're beginning to lose your zeal. You say, well, that's all well and good, but we don't know what zeal is. So I've got some definitions for you and a question. You know, how can we be zealous? How can we be zealous of good works, as it says in Titus? How can we be zealous of good works without knowing what zeal is? So here's what zeal is. I took a variety of definitions. They all basically mean the same, but the wording. Persistent, fervent devotion to a cause. Zeal. Enthusiastic and diligent, eagerness and readiness, devotion in pursuit of a cause, in pursuit of an idea or in pursuit of a goal. You've had zeal before, right? You understand what zeal is, right? That thing that you want, that thing that you want, that you pursue, that's what you want the most, that's zeal. It's your drive. It's exciting. You pursue it. You know, everyone has zeal for something. For some, they have zeal to make a name for themselves. That's their drive. I want to leave my mark on society. I want to make a name. And I'll see those people. They have a drive to do that. For some, it's a zeal for political or social issues. You see those people today, right? And they're adamant. They'll talk to you about anything political or social. They have a zeal for it. For some, it's a zeal for pleasure. Anything that feels good, any kind of entertainment. They'll go anywhere to see somebody that they really like to see entertain them, or they have a favorite team and they're zealous for it. I mean, bring up that team and boy, they will wear you out talking about it and they'll defend that thing. Or maybe it's a sport that they play and man, they're zealous for it and they practice and they're really focused to it. Or maybe it's a hobby and they can't wait. All they think about is let me get through my work because I can get on my hobby. Or maybe it's something even bad, an addiction or something that they're zealous for. But I'm not going to talk about the bad things we're zealous for now, because there's good things that we're zealous for. You know, there's some people that have a zeal to work and accomplish material goals so that they can get material things. That's what drives them. That person is dedicated. They're up, they're at work because they want to make as much as they can, because they want to get as comfortable as they can in this world and have the comfort of knowing that they have a zeal to make money and acquire wealth and material things, and that's going to provide, and that drives them. They have a zeal for it. You know people like that? Nothing wrong with any of these kinds of zeal in their place. But when the zeal for these things becomes the zeal that you live for, and you're a Christian, something's dangerously wrong. Today I want to talk to everyone. I want us to examine our zeal for God. Your zeal for God. Not your zeal for any of these things that we mentioned, but your zeal for God. Is that okay? Sure. Question for you. How is your zeal for God? Answer that question to yourself. I'll give you about 5 seconds. You can put it in a good, bad, terrible category. Okay? Your zeal for God. Titus 2, 11 through 14 that we read earlier is a big passage of Scripture, because basically it says at the end of this passage, God gave His Son to die for our sins and give us salvation so that we could be zealous of good works. Our representation that we're saved should be our zeal. If you're saved, your zeal should be the representation that you're saved. You realize that. You pursue something. You're driven by something. You know, this happens in everyday relationships, right? Husbands and wives. You know, when I met Miss Angie, well, she wasn't Miss Angie then. She was just Angie, right? When I met her, after I checked her out and put her through a couple of tests, and I decided that I wanted to pursue her, then I pursued her with zeal. You know, zeal is an excitement, right? So you understand what zeal is, and our zeal for God should be that same kind of excitement. You see, the Bible tells us that our zeal for God is one of the things that God puts the highest value on. Do you realize that? We don't talk about this word much, but our zeal for God is a measure of our love for God. After all, when you love something, you have a zeal for it, don't you? Well, you know, young woman meets young man and they talk and they go out on a date and they text each other while they're on their date. And then they get home, or he drops her off, and you know what he says? When I get home, I'll call you. You know why? He's got a zeal. He wants to talk to her. And she says, I'll call you. And he says something, and she laughs at whatever he says. It wasn't even funny, but she laughs. Oh, you're so funny, right? Right? Later on, what happens? Something happens to the zeal. Then he can say something, and she's like, what did you say? Right? Anything he did was right, but what happens to the zeal? When the zeal is gone, something happens to the relationship. And there he used to pursue her. There he used to be looking at her, and he would just make eyes at her. Now he doesn't turn his eyes from the TV when she walks through the room. What happened? You know what? It's a matter of zeal. Something's happened to the zeal. Same way with our relationship with God. Our zeal for God is a measure of our love for God. When you have zeal for something, you want to pursue it, right? In the same way that I was pursuing Miss Angie that I told you about, it was a show of my love. If I wouldn't have been interested, if the first week that I was with her, I said, hey, I like you, you're all right, but then I never would have called. She wouldn't have seen my intent if I didn't want to talk to her, right? If I didn't go over there, if I didn't say, let's do something, she wouldn't have seen my zeal. It was a measure of my love, and if she doesn't see it now, it's still a measure of my love. You're getting where I'm coming from. You're picking up what I'm putting down. You see what we're saying today, right? After all, when you love something, you have a zeal for it. You're excited about it. You're devoted to it. You're devoted to the pursuit of it. Our zeal is also the thing that causes us to grow closer toward the things that we love. The more zeal you have for something, the more time you spend around. The more time you spend around it, the closer that you grow to it. True? And it lets other people see what you're interested in. And it turns them on to it, right? Somebody sees me in love with my wife. Guess what? That's supposed to influence my children. They see my zeal for my wife. That teaches them to be husbands. That teaches them to be a daughter. They see my zeal for something, and that teaches them it's good, or they see my zeal and teaches it's bad. That's why it's so important in raising the different generations. They're looking. Do you think they're going to pick up the piece of cookie cake like we had that doesn't seem favorable to the person that's showing it to them? No. They're going to see what the person had the zeal for. That's what they're going to go for. They want to see that interest. In the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth in chapter 9. We're not going to use this. I just want to use this just to show you. He was talking to this church because this church was a giving church. They were a doing church. And he was telling them, hey, you know what? What you've done has been an influence to others. There were people that have watched what you've done. Listen to this verse. This is 2 Corinthians 9:2. It says, for I know that your forwardness of your mind, that means eagerness of your mind, which I boast of you to them at Macedonia and Achaia, was ready a year ago. Listen, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Your zeal made a difference. It changed lives because other people saw your zeal when they didn't have anything to have zeal in. Does that make sense? So your zeal changes other people. Now, you say, why is that important? Well, Christian, I'm talking to you. Why was it important that your zeal changes other people? Well, I want to remind you, Matthew chapter 28, we're given instructions. It says, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. He tells us to go and tell, doesn't he? We're supposed to bear witness of Him. We're supposed to bear spiritual fruit. How can you go and bear witness without any zeal? It would be like me having that cookie cake and saying, hey, you want some of this? Do you want this kind? Or do you want this kind? See, the difference is my zeal. That's what makes you want it or makes you, take it or leave it. The reason that more people aren't coming to Christ today, the reason that more young people aren't living the way that they need to live is because they're not watching the seasoned Christians have zeal about what they're living for. Don't go saying, oh, it's all this generation. That generation's watching a generation of Christians that don't act like they have any zeal. Take it or leave it. Yeah, I'll serve here. Yeah, I'll do that. Oh, we're going to sing again. Okay, I got to be here. We're practicing that. We're doing this and that. Yeah. No zeal. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll lead it if I have to. Sometimes We have a zeal for something and then we lose our zeal. When you lose your zeal, you lose your drive. Do you know that? When you lose your zeal, you lose your drive. I mean, I've seen people that are devoted to something and they have that zeal for it and they want to be the best at it and they have that drive and they have that drive. But Christian, your zeal for God is the same way. When you lose that zeal, you'll lose that drive. When people lose their zeal for God, you know, they lose their drive to do things for God. What kind of things? Well, they lose their drive to worship. They lose their drive to pray. They lose their drive to praise. They lose their drive basically to witness. When you don't have any zeal, you don't have any drive. So it stands to reason, and I'm not the smartest man in the room or by no means, but I would figure this. It stands to reason that if the devil, if he wanted to distract a lot of Christians, if he wanted to make sure that no one else came to Christ, if he wanted to influence the next generation by parents that were supposed to be godly parents, if he wanted to do all this and corrupt society, the one thing he would need to do is to distract people from the zeal they're supposed to have from God, for God, and turn them onto a zeal for something else. Wouldn't you think that would be clever for him to do? Even if it was a thing of just selfishness. Well, I need to do something for myself. I would think that would be what the devil would do. You see, our zeal for God is, it's that vibrant feeling that you have that makes you want to come and worship God. It makes you want to come and fellowship with others that are worshiping God. It makes you want to sing praises to God. It makes you want to pray to God, talk to God. It makes you want to tell others about God. Why? Because I once was lost and now I'm found, right? I once was doomed for hell, but now, praise God, Jesus saved me. And listen, I can go to God and talk to Him anytime. I'm excited. I've got zeal about that. It makes me want to sing to Him. It makes me want to come to worship. What has He got to tell me today? It makes me want to read the Word of God. It makes me want to be around anything that's got to do with God. It's a zeal. But I can't tell you that I've kept my zeal all my life. See, I'm not preaching you today as the preacher that's standing up here doing this. I'm preaching you today as somebody that lost their zeal before. Didn't recognize it then. But I can recognize it now, and I probably wouldn't admit it to it then. I haven't lost the zeal. I love God, really. When you have a zeal for somebody, it's a show of how much you love Him. So He says, by your fruits I will know you, right? Think we ought to go on? All right. I've got it written. We might as well go, right? Basically, when you lose your zeal, guess what? Go back to Titus. When you lose your zeal, you're not looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. You're not looking for it. You know it could come. It's not a visual thing, but you're not living like you're looking forward to it. You're not living with that zeal. You're not looking for opportunities to come to church and worship. You begin to just maintain. Other things begin to take a priority. Other things have captured your zeal. You say, what do you mean other things? That thing right now that you want to do the most, that thing that you're putting all your time and effort into, that thing that excites you, that you would do anything, that you want to make sure that thing, whatever that thing is that you love the most, that's what your zeal is toward. And by any means, by no means, do you need to leave here today saying, Pastor Mike says you don't need to do anything, you need to sit in your room and just sit there. No, no, not saying that at all. There's many opportunities, many things He gives us to do. But when those things take a priority over God and you don't have a zeal for God, it's dangerous. When you lose your zeal, you're not looking to invite anyone to come to church with you. Hey, when's the last time that you invited somebody to come to church with you? When? When's the last time? I tell you what. I remember getting saved, and I would even invite kids at school, hey, you want to come to church with me? I've got something's happened to me, right? And then I remember a time in my life where I wouldn't really bring that up and invite anybody to come to church because I didn't know if they'd see me there. That'd be uncomfortable. That'd be awkward, right? It's happened here. I've had people come to church and say, so-and-so invited me. You see them? No, I don't. I didn't see them. Early service? No, they weren't here, right? At least they were inviting. When's the last time that you had a zeal to invite somebody to come and see what you're experiencing? You say, well, I don't want to invite them here because I'm not experienced. Then you need to be in another church. You need to be in one that you want to invite somebody to. When you lose your zeal, you're not looking to pray to God like you used to. You know, your prayer life becomes different. It's a matter of, okay, all right, it's morning time I need to pray, and it's evening time I need to pray. But it's not, hey, you know what? I want to get on my knees and I want to cry out to God, or look what happened and I want to talk to Him. You see, when you love someone, when you pursue something, when you have zeal for it, go back to when that relationship started and you wanted to talk to that person, you wanted to be around them, whether it was your wife or husband or girlfriend or boyfriend or buddy or friend, you want to talk to them. Hey, can so-and-so come over? Can so-and-so come over? I would see my kids as they're growing up. Hey, can so-and-so come over, right? Why? They wanted to spend time with Him. They had zeal for it. In the same way, our relationship with God. Do you still want to talk to Him? Or is it a matter of duty? What a privilege to come to God in prayer, right? You get to talk to the Creator of the universe. You get to talk to the one that's keeping your heart beating. You get to talk to the one that's orchestrating everything. You're looking for a job, He's talking to the person that you're interviewing with. And I get to talk to Him today. But sometimes you lose your zeal and you're not looking forward to it. When you lose your zeal, you're not looking forward to an opportunity to talk about God with others the way that you used to. I remember telling people what happened to me. I remember going to school and saying, hey, listen, guess what? We started going to this church and I got saved. I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And I remember my friend said, you got saved? What happened? You have an accident and you got rescued or something? I said, no, I got saved. And I couldn't really explain it. I just knew that, hey, listen, I'm going to heaven. And I got saved because I was a sinner. And I tried to explain it to him. But I remember awkwardly telling people, this is what happened to me. And then I can remember later on losing my zeal, not really telling anybody about what's happened to me. When you lose your zeal, you don't look for opportunities to serve God the way you used to. You don't look for opportunities to serve in the church or volunteer your time or help others. Your time begins to be sort of put towards yourself or something else that you have zeal for. You don't have a strong leading. You're not looking for things that you can sign up for. It becomes a matter of, well, I don't know. I can't do that. I mean, I will if I have to, but I can't really say I'm looking forward to doing it. Well, you mean to tell me that you know that that might change lives? Somebody's life would change because of that? Or you might get to join in worship and maybe we're going to sing together and God's given you the ability to sing, or maybe not, just to make a joyful noise and you come in here, but I'm not really looking forward to it? Listen, that's what we're going to do in heaven. It's just praise. For some of us, for some of you, He's given you that gift. To sing praises to Him. Do you still have zeal to do that? Do you have a strong obedience to God? You see, when you lose your zeal, you stop really having that strong desire to be obedient to God. You say, what do you mean? Well, it's like this. I can remember knowing from reading the Bible what God wanted me to do. Anybody in here know right from wrong? Raise your hand. Now, sometimes my wrong, I would try to justify it into right, but listen, the voice inside of me would tell me what is right and wrong. I hope you have it, right? That's the Holy Spirit. Now, when you lose your zeal for God, the reason that I wanted to do right was because I wanted to please God. Does that make sense? The same way I would want to do right to say, please my parents. But if I lost my zeal to be obedient, then it wouldn't matter to me whether I please them or not. When we lose our zeal to be obedient to God, we're not looking for a chance to please Him. Guess what? You'll start sinning more. You'll go deeper and deeper and deeper because you don't have a desire anymore to just please Him. The zeal is gone. If I didn't care about impressing my wife, if I didn't want her to know that I loved her, if I didn't want to please her, then I wouldn't do half of the things that she wanted me to do. Why? Wouldn't matter.
That's good.
But I want to please her. I know I keep using that relationship, but I'm just trying to give you a relationship context because God wants you to please Him. When you lose your zeal, your faith becomes weak. You stop thinking and depending on God to take care of you, and you stop depending on God to protect you and provide for you, and you start trusting in your own plan to get you peace. You used to say, when any problem came, hey, listen, God's got it. He's going to handle it. That's good faith right there, you know? That's not ignorance. That's having faith. Hey, God's going to take care of me. I'm His child. But now the zeal's gone and the problem comes in, and you're like, oh, no. What are we going to do? This is happening. That's happening. I've got to come up with a plan. I don't know what's going to happen. And what if this happens? And what if that happens? You've lost your zeal. There's no faith in that, right? So I've just given you several examples. Let me ask you, can you remember a time in your life? Maybe you're in here today. Can you remember a time that you've lost your zeal for God? Maybe you're realizing it right now after talking about all these things, because it was real easy to say when we asked the question, do you have a zeal for God? Yes, sir. Amen. We do. But it just happens so subtly, doesn't it? We don't really realize it. We can get distracted from it. You know, the devil has a way of just diverting our zeal, doesn't he? Maybe you're in here and you're saying, well, this is the way I am right now. I can't honestly tell you, Pastor, that, and I'm glad you didn't have us raise hands because I don't want to lie in church, but I wasn't really looking forward to coming today. I mean, I came. I wasn't really looking forward to singing, but I mean, I sang. I'm not really looking forward to having to walk by that board and see that my name's not on something, so I'll sign up for something, but I'm not really excited about it. You're in dangerous territory, Christian. You see, the best example I think that I can give you, and you know, I think just life pictures make more sense to me, and I want to give you one, can I? Because this is the way, if I had to put it into a picture, I would put it into. And I was inspired on this same note by watching something happen at my home with my dog. So I'm going to preach about my dog this morning. I love my dog. She's precious to me. Except for about 2:30 this morning, she wasn't. But most of the time, she's precious to me. I like to treat her with things, special things. She's always there, happy just to be able to have that relationship with me. And so, a little while ago, someone gave us a gift of a Boston butt. Anybody ever had a Boston butt? I love it, right? And my dog loves the bone at the middle of it. And I made sure there was a little something on there for her. And I took it off the bone, and she sat there the whole time just watching as I was doing it. And I was talking to her, and I said, you know what you're getting. You know what you're getting. And, man, she was just getting it. So we go out, and I'm taking her from the house out to her lot because she's not going to eat a bone in the house, right? So I take her out there, and she is beside of herself. You talk about the tail wagging the dog back and forth. She would run out. I wasn't coming fast enough. She'd run back like, you coming? You coming? You coming? So we get out there, and I give her the bone, and she takes the bone, and she goes and lays down with the bone, and she's smelling the bone and licking the bone. And you talk about the zeal. It was just there, right? And you would think, that's a happy dog. And a couple of days later, I got these little treats. And I walked out there with a treat, and she was chewing her bone. And when I gave her the treat, she dropped the bone. See, the bone had become old. And all she wanted was something new. And I gave her that, and she ate it up, and she looked at me. And I said, there's your bone. You love, get your bone. Nah, she was smelling my pocket. She was looking because she wanted something new. And you say, what are you talking about? I can't believe you're talking about your dog. Well, I'm not really. You see, when I look back in my life and I see exactly what happened that day, you see, what happens when you lose your zeal a lot of time is God has become that old bone. He's the bone you dropped. And you know what I did? I went a couple of weeks. Every time I went out there, I looked, and that bone was laying over in the side, just laying there. I didn't give her anything. Didn't give her nothing. And one day I went out there, and she had that bone again. She was chewing on that bone and loving on that bone, and that's exactly what I had to do. I had to get to where I didn't have anything, where everything new disappointed me and everything was empty. And then I went back and picked up that bone. We should never treat God like an old bone. Never. You see, we need to know that God's, he's just not an old bone, and he's assured us that if we continue to be zealous for him, then he'll continue to supply with strength and peace and accomplishments and happiness and fulfillment. Do you know God will do that? He'll renew us. He'll stay new. You say, what do you mean? I'm just going to give you a couple of passages of Scripture. You don't have to turn to them. You can write them down because I'm going to say them to you pretty quickly. But Isaiah 40, you probably know this passage, but 28 through 31 says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. All of us have a period of weakness. All of us have a kryptonite, don't we? Something that we have weakness to. Young men get tired to what he's saying, but listen. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What do you mean wait upon the Lord? Let me give you another word. Looking for. It's how you live while you're waiting, right? Looking for. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. To wait upon the Lord is to live with zeal, looking for ways to be close. How do you look for ways to be close? Well, if you came to the house of God today and you were looking forward to the preaching of His Word that you could learn something and leave here, then you know what? He'll bless you with that. If you're looking to sing praises to Him, that's the offering He wants before. He wants you to volunteer any kind of money to Him. He wants your offering of praise. Basically, He's telling us that if we stick with Him, if we wait on Him, if we're consistent with Him, then He'll continue to strengthen. He'll continue to enable us. He'll continue to empower us. God wants us to maintain a zeal. I'm talking about maintain a renewing for Him. You say, how does that happen? You see, He puts something in us called the Holy Spirit, and it will continue to renew us, if you spend time around it. You know what happens? If you drift away from that thing that you once had zeal for, your relationship will suffer. And you'll have to get to a place with God of a barren time, a time when things just don't work out. A time of disappointments, maybe, to where you have to go back over and realize I had the best bone I could ever have. It was new. I didn't drop it for something else. These other things look appealing. You see, God tells us He'll renew us. He'll give us this zeal. He'll give us something new. And the something new is something that we can see in every day. You say, what do you mean? How do you renew yourself? Listen, there's been times that I've got tired of serving God. Hey, I can't believe you said that, preacher. Well, if you feel like you need to get another one, then you need to admit to me too, there's never been a time that you felt like you were tired of serving God. Tell me, has there? There has. Raise your hand. Tired physically. Tired mentally. Now, I can't say that was of God, but I did have that feeling. Have you had it? Tired of serving or doing that. Tired of going through that. We go through that, don't we? When that time happens that we get tired of serving God, understand that we're beginning to slide back into an area where we have a chance to be able to get renewed. You say, well, how can that happen? You see something like I saw this past week with a little girl that got a brand new heart. She's sitting there praising God, and I see a room full of doctors that are just shaking their heads saying, how can this be? And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, God, you're just renewing me right now. You sit there and you look at a couple where the husband was going this way and the wife was going this way and the marriage was doomed, and all of a sudden they're at the bottom and they realize, and the kids are watching it, and all of a sudden you realize that you get to talk to one of them and you ask them how they are with God, and they're at the bottom and they're reaching out and they cry out for God. They renew their relationship with God and they find one thing in common they have, and that's God. They get back together. Their children are seeing a happy marriage. Their children are seeing parents functioning together. Praise God, that will renew you, won't it? You see children that drift away, and then all of a sudden you see something happening. You actually watch that child renew their relationship with God. That'll renew you, won't it? See, God will keep renewing you, but He won't do it if you're not there to see it. If you don't have the zeal to be around it, guess what? You're going to keep going the other way. And the devil will provide you with excuse after excuse after excuse. Are you listening? It's easy to come up with an excuse why not to worship, why not to pray, why not to sing, why not to volunteer. He'll give them to you. They're readily available right there in your mind. You don't have to go far to get them. But it's easy after you start using them. It's easy after you drift a little bit. You see, the Bible tells us, and I love this passage of Scripture because it talks about the problems we have. God never promises you you're never going to have problems. Here's what He says. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, Christian, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, He's got it. Listen, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in us. Right? Do you know what He tells you here? He tells you that He will renew you. Listen to verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's the benefit of being a Christian. You can get renewed. You don't have to choose something else. Are you going to get in times where you just don't feel like serving? Yes. Guess what? You need to recognize then I need to be renewed. What do you have to do to get it? Well, we're going to go there. I want to give you an example of somebody that I think is a good representation of somebody that has zeal in the Bible. You see, our motivating force to have zeal is to know that there's somebody that loves you more than anybody else in the world loves you. That's God. He loved you so much He gave His Son to die for you. Somebody died for you to keep you out of hell. That's pretty good motivation. Anybody else in here can say you got somebody that did that for you? No. So our zeal needs to be towards that. So there's a man named David in the Bible. I love David because I can represent or I can emulate David in a way to where David messed up a lot, but David came back to God. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart, but David had one thing that I think set him apart. He had zeal, didn't he? We knew he had zeal when he came on the scene, right? He came up to an army that was sitting there shuddering because of this big giant that was across from him named Goliath. And David's like, what are you guys doing? Hey, he's cursing the God we serve. Out of my way. Right? All of you with your armor, give me a couple of rocks and a piece of string, right? I'm going to cut your head off, giant. That's what kind of zeal I've got. Talk about my living God like that. David has zeal, didn't he? God used the man that had zeal. He used him to lead Israel. Let me tell you, the people that he defeated with God's favor on him, right? Because he had zeal. Do you know the lives that changed? The people that came to a relationship with God because David said, I'm a king that has zeal. When they brought the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, into the place of Israel, and David got it back. You know what David did? He danced, man. He sang. He danced. Why? He wasn't scared of what people would say. He had zeal. But you know, David lost his zeal. Every time his soldiers would go out to battle, he would be right in front. And there's one time you can tell he lost his zeal. He stayed at home. When he stayed at home, he happened to be out on his roof. His soldiers were fighting. He lost his zeal. He didn't have zeal. So he just said, I'll sit this one out. I'll let somebody else do it. Walked out on his roof and saw a pretty little thing called Bathsheba. Not only did he sin that sin, then he became a murderer. After adultery, he became a murderer, then extortioner, then he covered up all those new bones that he wanted, right? And guess what? He was met with tragedy. His child died. David fell on his face, repented to God, picked God back up that he had left in a corner. When he got to the bottom, sometimes that's where we need to get. And he went out, continued to make a difference. You know, I think if I were going to read something out of the Bible that sort of pointed out David in a nutshell, I would read Psalms 40, which I want to read to you. It's just the first three verses. I want you to listen to David's attitude of a man with zeal. Listen. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Waiting again, that's looking for, right? That's how he was living. I waited, even though things were bad, even though this didn't go right in my life, I still stuck with God. I still maintained my zeal. I kept getting renewed. I waited till he heard my cry. Listen to how he describes it. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's big, right? How many people have ever felt like you're in the pit, like you're just miring and miring down up? He said, God, pick me up and set me up on something solid, and that's where I'm standing at. That's a feeling of confidence. And when God renews you, he'll give you confidence in a bad situation that will give you zeal all over again. Does that make sense? That's the way David describes it. Now listen, he tells you what happens to him. Listen to this. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Glory to God. When you have zeal, you get a new song. It's not all, woe is me. It's not, this is wrong and that's wrong and they ought to do this a different way and they ought to do this and this isn't going right and this, I've been slighted and this. He put a new song in your mouth. A new song is a song of zeal. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So even there he's saying, many have seen the zeal that I've had and trusted in the Lord. So I wonder, Christian, as far as zeal goes, how many people are really seeing our zeal? David knew how to get his zeal back. You might be wondering, well, hey, I'm sort of finding myself, sort of grading myself. Maybe I don't have the zeal that I thought I did when we started here. But simple prayer. Listen to David. Psalms 41:4, he said, I said, O Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. So what do you mean? That's the way you renew yourself. That's the way you get your zeal back. You confess to God. David put it better where I told you to turn to begin with in Psalms 32. I want you just to listen to David's process of coming back to God. He starts in Psalms 32. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiving, whose sin is covered. Anybody in here ever sinned? If you have, say amen. Amen. There you go. Blessed means happy. Happy is he whose sin has been forgiven. You ever live with sin? Not forgiven? Not a good feeling if you're a Christian. It shouldn't be anyway. He says, happy or blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept in silence, my bones waxed old through the roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. He's praising God, and guess what he says? Here's how I did it. Pretty simple. I realized it. I repented of it. I realized it. I confessed it. I asked for forgiveness. I repented of it. And then, if you do all those things, guess what? Here comes zeal. Listen to the end of this, verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Guess what he's showing there at the end? Zeal. Pretty neat. God wants us to have zeal for him. He wants us to be excited about our relationship with him. But you have to stay near him. You have to meditate on him. You have to make sure you put that effort in. You can't leave him by the side like an old bone and pick him up when you think you need him. He wants consistency. Because if you lose your zeal and you drift further and further away, you know, I share something with you that I want to. I want to share it with you. There was a time in my life as a Christian that I had a zeal for so many other things besides God. I remember I had a zeal for him, but as you got older and you wanted this and wanted to succeed at this and wanted this and wanted to experience this and wanted this group of people to be around and this, and all of a sudden I sacrificed my zeal for God. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever went down that road? I went down that road too long. When my life had fallen completely apart and I realized I was miserable. And you know how we talked about most people have a zeal for something? At that point, I had a zeal for nothing, not for God or anything else in life. Hey, that's a dangerous point to be at when you don't have a zeal for anything in life. You get where I'm coming from? Because your mind starts telling you, life, I have no zeal. And I remember God gave me another chance when things got so bad. And I can remember by myself in an apartment on an old hardwood floor one night just crying out to God, telling him I was miserable, telling him that I know I wasn't happy and really apologizing for some thoughts I'd had. And there was a Bible laying over on the dresser and I picked it up and I began to read. And I can't even tell you what I read. It would make this story, true story, it would make it just so good if I could remember, but I can't remember. But the big thing I can remember is this. No matter what I read, there's a verse of scripture that came back to me that I had to learn when I was in church with my parents and in youth. And that verse of scripture came back to me. So it's not about what I read, it's about what he put in here a long time ago. See, he helps you get renewed, right? And it went something like this. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalms 1. You know, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'd started. Didn't matter to me whose counsel, whose company. If they were ungodly, if they weren't believers, it didn't stop me. If I wanted to be around them, I was around them. And I wasn't witnessing to them. I was participating with them. To act the same way as sinners that don't believe in God, yeah. He said, blessed is a man that meditates on me day and night. That means you're devoted. You're sticking out there. You're singing when you don't feel like singing. You're worshiping when you don't feel like coming, because you're patiently waiting. You're saying, God, I don't want to lose my zeal. And he'll give you something. And I was more like the other part. See, the rest of that goes like this. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, chaff's that little hull on the outside of a grain of wheat. When it's thrashed, when you go by and you see that combine, you see that dust, that chaff. Guess where it's going to go? Somebody tell me. Wherever the wind's blowing. Don't you know that that's the way we live a lot of our lives? Our zeal is to this time, and to this time. And then we put down this hobby, or we pick up this interest, or we have this goal, or we want to get this. And that's where our zeal is. And Christian, our zeal has got to be with God. It doesn't matter if you do some of these other things, but God's got to have your zeal. Or the devil's getting his plan worked out. The Bible tells us that we need to live zealously, and I've given you these passages of Scripture. And I want to tell you that that was a turning point in my life that day, because I got my zeal back. You say, well, you've had zeal since then. I've had to work to keep zeal. You have to work to keep it, don't you? The same way you have to work in a marriage to keep zeal, right? You work to keep your zeal with God, but guess what? You've got more help from God to keep your zeal than you'd even do in your marriage. God will help you. Well, how do you do it? Well, the way David said. First of all, you're in a service like this today and you realize, hey, I might have lost my zeal. Might be losing it. Can't tell you that I'm as interested or looking forward to the things I used to be, and they're things of God. I know he's in it. I know I should be, but I can't tell you that I am. You repent of it. You say, is it a sin? Oh, yes, it's a sin. Yeah, it's not like any of these other sins you want to label. It's a sin of putting something before God, right? You repent of that sin. You ask him to renew you. You ask him to forgive you. And he does. And he gives you your zeal back. So what's it look like? Oh, let me tell you. I've been able to witness people in this church that have turned their life around. People that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and man, they're going to be here whenever something's going on. I've watched young people get saved, and all of a sudden they've decided this is wrong, I can't do it, and all of a sudden they have a peace. They're trusting in God. I've watched marriages be restored, watched relationships be restored. Watch people that, hey, if you're counting on somebody, you can count on that person. They're going to be here and they're going to be faithful in doing it. I love to see somebody excited and on fire for God, don't you? It's contagious. It's what the Bible says. Zealous works will lead many others to him. Now consider this. We think about it in a church setting, but the generation that's behind us, if they don't see our zealous works, they're not going to know which cookie plate to go to, right? No different than the children's sermon. If your children don't see it in the home, what you're zealous for, they know that, hey, we're zealous for God. Unless this other thing comes up, guess what? The other thing is what they know you're zealous for. What do you think they're going to go towards? Yes. You say, well, I'm trying to do that, and it's just not happening yet. Be patient. God won't make you out to be a liar. I'll guarantee it. But we have to determine by asking ourselves this question, how's your zeal for God? Christian, are you serving him, or are you serving him with zeal? Big difference, isn't there? Maybe you've lost your zeal. Has God become your old bone that you used to be excited about? But now he's something that you have laying over to the side that you can pick up when you need to, but your zeal is really for all these other things that you think you want that will make you happy. You can get that zeal back today, friend. Today. How? by coming to him and confessing to him that you've sinned, repenting of that sin, asking for forgiveness, and letting him renew you and give you the zeal that you had when you got saved. That's called rededicating your life. He renews your zeal. And you might be here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to tell you, you'll search for zeal the rest of your life. You'll be like a piece of chaff. It'll blow from one thing that you're interested in that will let you down to the next thing that you're interested in that will let you down to the next thing, and the devil will eventually distract you until you pass away and you never accepted Jesus because you were chasing something you thought would give you zeal. Don't let this day pass you. Jesus Christ died for you so that you could come and have a relationship with God and he could put a zeal in you, a satisfaction, so that you can have a drive to serve him. Have you lost your zeal? Pray with me. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I just thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for giving us a message today out of your word. And Lord, I know you know us. I know you know our hearts and minds. I know, Lord, when we become unfaithful, I know that you can see it. Lord, I just want to say I thank you for giving us the opportunity of second chances. I thank you for giving us, Lord, a chance to come and renew ourselves with you. And I pray, God, today that all over this room, I pray for a boldness for those, Lord, that want to come and just renew their life with you, that realize they don't have the zeal they once had. And God, I just pray you would just rain upon them, Lord. Give them that sense of purpose and confidence. Lift them out of the miry clay and set their feet on a solid rock. Lord, for Christians all over this room, Lord, so that we can go out and others can see our zeal and they can come to know you. And I pray, Lord, for every person that's in this room that's never accepted your son Jesus as their Savior. They know you and they believe in you, but they've never made a personal relationship. I pray, God, today they come and ask forgiveness of their sins. Ask for your son to come into their heart. Please, Lord, I pray for that conviction even now. And Lord, for those in this room that are living with that zeal, that are working for you and praying to you and talking to you, lifting up their voice to you, praising you and looking for every opportunity to worship you, God, I pray you listen to their prayers as they come before you. And Lord, pray for others to change so that they can get the peace that they have. Lord, in all cases, we just pray that you speak now in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.